Blog Talk Radio.
...of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the elite fruit of Islam, to help us to put today...
When the revolution comes...
When the revolution comes...
When the revolution comes... When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Black power and more black power to my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Khalid, and I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. And always, it is a privilege, it's a joy, and it's an honor to be able to talk to you from this bold radio network called Black Power Radio. We come to you every Monday night, and you know, if you've listened to us before, you know we pull no punches. You know, we are the organization and students of some bold black men and women. Let me open up this broadcast giving thanks to the God of our foreparents, God of our foremothers, who answers to many different names. And we open up bearing witness that regardless to land, label, or language, there's only one God. And we give thanks to that God for doing what was prophesied and written to that God to do, which was to seek and save us who were lost, or that which was lost. And so we find no other people, whether you reading the Metunatur, combing the walls of the ancient pyramids, or whether you are into other sacred writings, if you are reading the Bible, if you're reading the Torah, if you're reading the Gospel, if you're reading the Quran, whatever you're reading, we can find no other people who fit that description of the lost brother, the lost sister, the lost sheep, better than we, the 40 to 50 million black men and women here in the hells and smells of North America. It was us who had been robbed of our name, when we had been robbed of our language, we had been robbed of our culture, we had been robbed of our folkways, we had been robbed of our forays and robbed of our norms and the power of our own being. That was us. And that prophecy said that that lost sheep would be in a land, or would be strangers in a land that was not their own. They would serve, they would have to serve and be afflicted for a term of 400 years. And so as you comb them history books, and history always rewards the researchers. So as you comb them history books, you already know it was our people, the black man and the black woman here in North America, who had served a brutal taskmaster for 400 plus years. And after that time, according to that prophecy that God said he would come to rescue his people and visit his people and save his people in the person of men and women, okay, real live. And so we thank that real God of our forefathers and foremothers. We thank our ancestors who move with that spirit, that liberation spirit, since the earliest days of our rise in the mother continent. We had the first kingdoms on the planet, the first known to man. That's written down and taken note of. Everybody knows that. Our kingdoms was first. Our libraries was first. Everything that we presented to the world, that came first and was used by other people. So we're thankful for the original kingdoms, the original educational centers and systems, the original medical facilities, the original enlightenment centers that we had in the beginning. We give thanks to all of that. And as we trusted people and let people come amongst us, we learned a serious lesson that you can't trust everybody, that everybody is not your friend. So people came amongst us and they made offers to us and made plans with us and broke bread with our people and ultimately betrayed our people and helped our people to be sold into slavery through Queen Elizabeth and John Hawkins and those who were organized as slave traders and slave transporters. And they fought. Our people fought them. And they tried to fight. And they captured some of us. And some of us, our people, put on the slave ships. They had to fight on the slave ships. You've seen it in Amistad and other movies where they fought on the slave ships. Others of our people, like the sisters who didn't want to go through that, jumped over the slave ships into the mouths of sharks. Other ones stayed on the slave ships, fought and died. And those who were there who were victorious were victorious. Others who were not were brought into the Caribbean, broken down and stripped down, and robbed of what I told you in the beginning, name and language, and brutalized and beaten and then taken to Jamestown, Virginia. This is actual history. It's American history, as they quote-unquote say. Taken to the shores of Jamestown, Virginia, and then brought here to be sold like cattle, sold like horses, sold like they do you at the NBA auction, NBA stuff and the draft and all that. Put you up in front of everybody butt naked and sold you off to the nearest plantation and put you to work for can't see morning to can't see night. Some areas like down south, he was picking cotton till your fingers started to bleed. No food or meager food or bad food. And then you had to work to make that plantation some money and make that plantation owner some money through your picking of the cotton, your people's picking of the cotton. And other places you had to do tobacco, like in the Midwest, like in Kentucky and other areas, and you picked tobacco and picked it to make the plantation owner money and make them wealthy. And so today, an empire has been built off of the back of your people, off of the back of black people. America stands off of the blood, the sweat, and the tears and fears of black men and women. This empire was built. Starting from 13 scrawny colonies, it expanded through the labor, through the free labor, not even cheap labor, but the free labor of black men who were brutalized, who were victimized, women raped in the field and raped in the slave master's bedroom. And so here we stand, a brutalized people now, who are robbed and spoiled and lost and don't know which direction to go, as our people still not yet freed, never freed indeed in the name, but were emancipated, which just means you was turned loose, but you were not given liberation. You were just basically turned loose from the plantation once the empire was built, and they had no more use for the slave or the black man and black woman. You were emancipated through Abraham Lincoln, and Lincoln said that if he could maintain the slavery, he would maintain it without giving you emancipation. But at the behest of the North and those who were arguing over how the slaves should be dealt with, they emancipated the slaves to preserve the Union. And the Union of the 13 scrawny colonies was preserved. And they went forward to build the nation as it was built. Well, so goes forth. Now you have black men and women turned loose without a name, without a language, without a culture, without a guide, without a point of reference. We were basically robbed of our mind and let loose in America. And in that generation, we produced children. And that generation produced more children. All the way down until you get into a what you call a civil rights era, where we begin to move around and try to regain ourselves. Well, I mean, go before that, back to black or back to Africa movement. Then we went to the civil rights movement, then through a black power movement. We've had many great men and women who have come to help us get back to ourselves. And so we, of course, always give thanks to those like the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and Noble Drew Ali, Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Minister Malcolm X, and Minister Louis Farrakhan, and all of those who fought in the 60s, and the Black Panther parties from Lowndes County, Black Panther Party from Oakland, California, and SNCC, and RAM, the Revolutionary Action Movement, and CORE, and all them groups that came to put us back together. The Black Liberation Army, to put us back together and show us self-defense in a real way. We had a lot of people that came. And then you had those that worked against them movements, of course, like J. Edgar Hoover, that no good devil, worked against the movement. You had those in the FBI and CIA and those who became later police officers and slave catchers who worked against the movement. You had those who fought to keep us in the a consistent state of repression that their forefathers and foremothers put on us from the beginning. And so we've been fighting since the moment that we got here. And a lot of our people don't understand that you're living every day in a war. Sister Harriet Tubman said that she said she freed thousands, but she could have freed more if they knew they were slaves. So we give thanks to all our ancestors and those who took lives and gave lives and made that ultimate sacrifice so that we could be here and stand and carry the torch forward towards what's called Kuji Chagalia, or Black Self-Determination. Giving thanks, of course, to the New Black Panther Party, the National Central Committee, all of its members. Giving thanks to our start there in Dallas, Texas, with Aaron Michaels and the beginning members. And giving thanks to that bold, bald-headed black man, our national chairman from 1998 to 2001, the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who spread this movement internationally, giving thanks to the man who picked up the torch and carried the ball forward to give the organization structure and give it a sense of discipline and code of honor and conduct, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the Attorney General. And now it's in the hands of a bold five-star general who served with 7 years with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad as his national assistant and national chief of staff, and 12 years with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the Attorney General, Attorney at War, as his National Chief of Staff. And now he is battle-tested and battle-ready and taking the movement forward on levels it had never been before. Talking about our National Chairman, Mr. Hashim Nzinga, who will join us shortly for Black Power Radio. And we have a myriad of guests. As you all know, we are right on the cusp of our National Summit. We've been telling you all for months now, telling you for months and months and months that the National Summit of the New Black Panther Party is on. I know many of you had been wondering, what's up with this summit? And what's going on? What is all this summit talk about? What really goes on in a New Black Panther Summit? How does this relate to me? What do I have to do with this summit? Well, I'll tell you, when people come together to participate in a summit, times, more times than not, they're coming together to get that agenda right and get that movement tight or get that organization tight or make sure that they're all on the same accord. Nations have summits all the time where the top key leaders or influential leaders will come together and they'll chart out the course for that nation. Well, the New Black Panther Party wants to make sure that in 2014, we are right down to the modern times. This is not the 60s. This is not the 70s. And This ain't even the 80s or the 90s. This is 2014. And much has happened since the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And much has to be considered not only in your life, but in my life and in our life and in the life of the black nation in general. We have to decide where we're going as a people. I'm talking to even those of you who say you're in the conscious community, so-called conscious community. You got to decide where you're going in 2014, because many movements now have become irrelevant to the people, and they're not affecting the day-to-day life and activity of the black man and black woman in North America, let alone the world. And so we refuse and will not become obsolete just because we're talking about and activating on and organizing for black empowerment in North America and throughout the world, in a world that has gone buck wild and gone crazy with multiculturalism or multinationalism, or this American boiling pot, this American melting pot idea that only is perpetuated here in America. We're not off point, and we refuse to be made obsolete by the gay, lesbian, transgender movement that's popping up and being pushed out there. We refuse to be made obsolete by any white nationalist elements out there that want to perpetuate white nationalism at the expense of the black man and black woman. Everybody, every nation has a right to self-determination, but you do not have a right to self-determination at the expense of my people and our people. And so we got to recalibrate, and we have recalibrated. And the new Black Panther Party that you once knew to make gross errors in the public, or say things that shouldn't be said, or speak out of turn, or do things that bring negative attention or negative light to the new Black Panther Party. Them days are done. The days of not understanding what the new Black Panther Party is about, or where we're going, or not being able to relate and see yourself and see a future in the movement, them days are done. We are absolutely clear on where we are, where we're going, and what we want to present and project to our people. And we understand that the media and our detractors and the ADL and the JDL and those who have influence over the telecommunications and the TV and radio and movies, we understand they're going to try to confuse you, as they always do, on what the issue is. But we want a clear message to you that black power, black empowerment is not reverse racism. Black empowerment and black power is not dead. The uplift of your people is the most necessary thing that you could be doing in 2014 right now, today, as sure as you need air and you need water. This is why we have to have a national summit, and not only a national summit, but a national summit of dignity, a national summit of dignity and respect. And we want to be, and are going to be, as the new Black Panther Party, we're going to be the chief examples of this dignity. We want a black man in America that operates with dignity and operates with respect and operates with honor and operates with valor, operates with strength and courage, that operates with honesty, that operates with peace. A black woman that operates with those same values and that operates to be the highest point of our civilization. Because if we cannot raise the black woman to the highest level of standard of operating livability in America, then we would never have a successful black nation, because every nation is judged by the success and the elevation of its woman. And so the black woman must exemplify dignity and honor in America and elsewhere, and the black man must dignify or must exemplify dignity and honor in America and elsewhere. The 2014 National Summit of Dignity, which is right on our door, which will be in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 28th through the 29th. That's this weekend. Ain't no excuses. I was telling somebody else earlier, I said, hell, I said, with all this spring break action happening, you got young youth that will crisscross the country going from one beach to another beach just to get drunk and cut a rug and act a fool. So for something of this magnitude, where you're going to have the world's premier leaders and thinkers and those who are educators and business people, this is the one. This is the one that you want to have your butt in the seat for, face in the place. This is the one that if you're interested in making the proper changes and adjustments to the movement of our lives and the movement of our, this is the one to come to. This is the one that's not sponsored by Colgate, and it's not sponsored by Rite Aid, and it's not sponsored by those who would water down the message and give you something that's not going to lift your spirit up and pick your head up. This is that one that will give it to you raw, uncut, unmixed, undiluted, untampered with in any form. This is the one to do that at, and this is the one that we're inviting you to. And as I always say, we're never going to invite you anywhere to waste your time. We're never going to ask you to come out somewhere just to have some type of photo op or have some type of, you know, sit-down session only to do nothing. This is the one to come to where you will be invigorated as if you live in America and watching all the crime that's going on. And you're watching all the savagery that's going on. You're watching all the filth or living in the filth that's going on. And we're in the day-to-day hustle. Most of us working jobs, 9 to 5 or what have you, trying to make ends meet. And the ends don't ever seem to meet. In doing this day-to-day cycle, it can drain your spirit. And it can make you lose vision. And it can make you, if you're not careful, lose hope. It can make you feel like that it's pointless. Why fight? Why go forward? Why push? If you're not careful, if you don't see the vision, if you don't see the way out, if you don't take control of your circumstances and take control of your life and make the right kind of moves in 2014, your light can be extinguished. But I got some black men and women that's with me and that's with us, that our light is, as we used to say as little children, our light is shining before the world. Our light is shining, and the light is visible, and the light is strong. In your world, and you can't see your way out, you get with some new Black Panthers that got some sense, that know where they're going at, and that can see that same vision and plan of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and that can see the same vision and plan of Prophet Noble Drew Ali and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Great Honorable Minister Malcolm X, and can see that plan of the Great Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and see that plan of the Great Honorable Huey P. Newton, and that great plan of the Honorable Shirley Chisholm, and that great plan of the Honorable Ida B. Wells. We can see that plan. And not only can we see the plan, those plans and other plans, we're following and enacting those plans. That's why we're successful, because we have great men and women who have come behind us and who have come, pardon me, before us, who have laid the groundwork. So we don't have to reinvent too much of the wheel. All we got to do is drive on the wheels and maybe make some adjustments to the vehicle. Maybe we want some more features. We want some more comfy seats. We want some wood grain. You know, we want some GPS system. We can upgrade the vehicle, but we're going to roll on the wheels. We're going to roll on the wheels of Garvey. We're going to roll on the wheels of Huey. We're going to roll on the wheels of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And so this weekend, the 28th through the 30th, we're looking to get into all kinds of sessions with our summit, strengthening our movement, of course, and getting into outreach of our community and strengthening, of course, your outreach and your effectiveness and getting into building a new educational paradigm. Got to happen. Getting into a new Black Panther agricultural industry where we are sick of the Monsantos and the people that are making genetically modified organisms or fake food, you know, seedless grapes and seedless oranges and, you know, molecularly discombobulated organisms or food that we're ingesting into our bodies that does not give us the intended effect of God or the Creator's natural foods on our body. We don't get the intended result, the vitamins and the minerals, yet we're getting a poison and we're getting a contamination that later causes cancers and causes other issues down the road. So we must get into agriculture and that real industry to having a real green / black thumb, planting our own food and growing our own food and feeding our own selves. If you're saying, like our opening said, when the revolution comes, you're not going to be able to look to Costco's and look to Walmart and, you know, look to Kroger, if y'all got a Winn-Dixie or what, you're not going to look to none of that, because you're not going to be able to always look to that direction for your sustenance. You got to be able to be a real black nationalist. We got to be real black nationalists and do for ourselves. And if that seed will plant for brown people and plant for yellow people and it'll plant for red people and it'll plant for white people, then that seed will plant for black people. That seed, that orange seed, the grapes or whatever you want, that the potatoes and tomatoes and whatever you want, it will plant just for you the same way, because the universe, our creator, our ancestors have all built it on equality. It does not just plant for one and don't plant for the other. It's about those who take advantage of that right to their self-determination, and there's enough. There's enough land for us, period. You got all kind of people over in the mother continent that's offering us land and want us to have land if we would just wake up to the fact of who we are and organize. If we would just organize and get it in our minds that the American dream was really an American nightmare, and that the illusion of inclusion was nothing more than what I just said, an illusion. If you would get that in your mind and understand that we're being cut off on a daily basis, that America promises jobs that she can't offer. She's broke as a nation, as a country. She's broke and terminally ill, and that we have to build for ourselves, our babies, and our futures. That'll make you get up and move. If you're comfortable with the idea of passing on a world like this where the men are dressing like women and the women are dressing like men and there's no respect and our elders are scared after they've laid their lives down and they can barely come out of their homes, if you're comfortable giving a world like this to those who come behind you or after you, then something wrong with you. Seeing the conditions of our people and the conditions of our neighborhoods, the conditions of our communities, the conditions of our households, the conditions of our immediate families, it should make the conscious brother or sister, the activist brother or sister, the change agent in the brother or sister, man and woman, black man and woman, it should make you get up and go to work. So we're going to the agricultural industry, and then we're talking about developing a real black political power. Then we go into the economic business, or developing economic business infrastructure, which all of you and all of us have to have that. How to handle the criminal justice system, gotta have that. We go into physical self-defense training, mental self-defense training, and psychological self-defense training. We get off into the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad Symposium, Building an International Base. I mean, that's, man. Then we get off into the invisible hands of the imposter so-called Jews and their control of black America, the puppet, so-called puppet masters who were pulling the strings, who was keeping you and keeping us in the economic crunch that we're in and keeping us in other crunches. We're going to expose that. Reparations and political prisoners, as, of course, anybody among us who believes you're not due a real and actual reparations, you have not been doing any studying at all. And you didn't hear nothing I said at the beginning about how a whole empire was built off of your people's backs and you received nothing. Your people received nothing but hard times, brutality, and murder, and you received nothing, and you struggled day to day trying to make it off an empire that was built for free off of your people. Okay, so we go into reparations, and the reparations movement must get stronger. We go into the political prisoners and how America refuses to acknowledge the fact that it has political prisoners in its midst, and political prisoners who have served time, like the great general Eddie Conway, who was just released after 44 years on the cause they knew that they were wrong and wiretapped and COINTELPRO him and sabotaged him, but he was released on a technicality based upon instructions to the jury. So we talk about political prisoners, and we go in to talk about the proper propaganda and how to control your image and making the image of the new Black Panther Party righteous amongst our people and righteous our people's image, positive black male and black female images. And then we get down into the major tribute that happens at the Windsor Hotel Grand Ballroom there at 5010 Old National Highway, College Park, Georgia. I told you to call 404-768-9199 to make your reservation to be there on the 30th as we tribute the great honorable Chokwe Lumumba, the great honorable Amiri Baraka, the great honorable Brother Obalewa, the great honorable Emuel Long, the great honorable Thutmosis Powell, and that great honorable Attorney General Malik Zulu Shabazz. You'll hear from the great billionaire CEO Michael V. Roberts, the great barber and teacher Dr. Leonard Jeffries, a black man who will be on with us in a few moments, the great creator of Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, an international businessman and attorney, Dr. Khalid Tariq Al-Mansour, the great warrior woman, honorable warrior woman from the Lakota Nation, or so-called Indians, who will be with us at the 10:30 hour tonight. You hear from the great Marcus Roach and Baba Mukasa Ricks, honorable ones. You hear from the Dr. Akinyele Yemoja and Attorney Mawali Davis, Honorable Derek Bozeman, attorneys, and great pastor Ted Sutton. I mean, on and on and on. Go to newblackpanther.com. Read the full agenda as it is power-packed. It is full to the gills and worth every bit of your attention and time to make a better black nation and a better people. And y'all stay tuned with us tonight because, of course, we will go into overdrive. And you know these shows now. On Monday nights, you get two halves. You get a full half from 8 to 10. You get a full half from 8 to 10 with me and with us, and then we come back with Black Power Radio in the overdrive from 10:30 right into 12 o'clock. Nobody does it like this. Let me just tell you, nobody does it like this. I don't know if you can do it like this. We're setting trends around here, but you get it in two halves. And so the great Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, he'll be on with us in a few moments with our national chairman, the General Hashim Nzinga. And then we're coming back at 10:30 to bring in a great, great black man who is working so hard all around the world with two black men who are working hard. Brother Troy Simmons, who is the chancellor of Bermuda. And then we come in with the Consul General of the Bahamas. And I know some of you all, you know, you go to Bahamas and vacation, kick your feet up with your pina colada and all that good stuff. But we're going to talk to the Consul General of Bahamas, Minister Randy E. Rohr. And I think National Chairman had told me that we even going to talk to the mayor of Bermuda. One of them, the mayor's coming on. By the grace of God. And so, I mean, we're talking, and then we're going into, like I said, the Lakota Nation, where some of you believe that, you know, the red man and red woman who are indigenous people to this side of the world and indigenous to different parts of the world, that you believe that they gone. You believe the white man wiped the Indians out, and that many of them is just the so-called Indians, and that many of them is living on reservations, and it's like one or two, a few of them. Hecky no, hell no, they alive and well. And I'm here to tell you, Caucasian people, that, you know, the red man and red woman still want their land back. They still want their land back. Many of them who are not sold out are still angry as hell and still organizing to set balance, because you cannot run an entire people off of their land through bloodshed and not expect them to want and require some of yours and want some of that balance and that equality. And so Sister Warrior Woman, who was a great friend to our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, She will be on with us in support of us to show that indigenous people, of course, of this planet, support the black man and black woman, just as it was in the old slave days of antiquity, where you have runaway slaves running for their freedom, cutting through the jungles, cutting through the woods, cutting through swamps, and you had the red man and red woman who would take us in and protect us and hide us at some times and some points from the no-good Caucasian slave master who was on the trail with the dogs and with the squad and with the team. And you had many of them red men and women who not only hid us and protected us, but they went to battle against the white man. Y'all got to know that history. Against the Caucasians, and you would save us and protect us when we were on the run. And there were other histories where the black man would come back and fight against the white man for the red man and red woman. Okay, so, you know, melanated people have always looked out for melanated people. Now, out there on the West Coast, we know that due to capitalistic class conditions, now we got in some segments, not all the segments, in some segments you got the brown man who is fighting against the black man. And we say to you in the new Black Panther Party, to those of you who are in the brown nation, you're in gross error in working to attack or attacking the black man and black woman, who is the original man and original woman and who is your mother and your father on the planet. You're in gross error siding with the Caucasian people. And this happens sometimes in the penal systems as well, the penitentiaries, the prison industrial complex. You're in gross error siding with the Caucasian people to fight your brother and your sister by nature. You're a melanated black man and black woman who is your mother and your father by origin. You're in gross error, and you got to correct that right away. You got to correct that. Now, not everybody's tripping like that. I'm just making some generalities. You got those that are out there that everything is straight. No problem. I don't want to feed into the hype. I'm just talking to who I'm talking to. You're in gross error. And then also I got to say to us in the black nation, we are in gross error. If we are attacking ourselves, and the black man and black woman is attacking himself, if you're out there killing yourself and brothers and sisters shooting up the neighborhoods and doing, you know, wrong in the name of trying to make a dollar, I mean, that's sickening to me to hear brothers talk about or sisters talk about how they done got over on another brother or a sister or done shot down another black man or, you know, did something wrong to another black man and black woman just to make a dollar. That's sickening to me, and that's a sickness to anybody who knows better. That should make you sick to your stomach. The glorification of gangsterism, so-called gangsterism, against your own people, and the glorification of murder and death and destruction that many of the rap artists are putting in the ears of our youth to attack themselves with the ideology, own worst enemy. That is sickening to me and sickening to us in the new Black Panther Party. And that has to be fixed right away. Black people are not naturally our own worst enemies. We have been made each other's worst enemies through conditioning. I use the example that when bears are in the woods, if bears threaten each other's space or territory, that a bear will attack another bear. Sometimes a geese or a duck will attack another geese or a duck if it invades its territory or space or harms it, or attempts to harm in any kind of way its young. Everything in nature will attack whatever's closest to it if it senses some kind of threat or it has to fight for its survival. And even though we're man and woman and humans and we have thought, we still have that natural instinct of self-preservation. And so, of course, with the class contradictions and the capital contradictions, where the poor will rob the poor and not mind the rich, okay, where the rich will rob the poor, but the poor will rob each other. With these class and capital contradictions, black people have turned inward. Since we cannot many times get those who make the laws and the policies and the economic injustices and the systemic institutionalized racism a real reality, since you can't get them, normally you turn on yourself due to self-hatred, okay? And so these are things that we have to correct, and these are things that within the new Black Panther Party we are addressing, not only just through talk and through speech, we on your block. And I'm here to tell you, right after this national summit, you're going to see even more waves of the new Black Panther Party on your block, not doing nothing crazy and not violating any laws. And so if you see a new Black Panther doing something crazy or violating the law, I'm telling you right now, they not with us. Our rules are against that. We obey the law as long as it don't conflict with our righteous way of life. As long as you ain't telling us to do something crazy, we don't mind buckling our seatbelts and stopping at the red light and all that good stuff, as long as you ain't telling us to do nothing crazy, all right? And so if you see us out there and see somebody out there doing something crazy, you got to know something wrong. They might have been sent in. They might be there to make the organization look bad. I mean, these type of things happen. But we're correcting all of these things. We want to be the real vanguard of our people. We want you to be proud of us. We want you to stand with us. And we want you to unite with us. And if you know of our good works and know our track record of cleaning up black men and our track record of cleaning up black women and making a so-called gangster turn to a revolutionary mentality and turn into a soldier, what I say, turn a Sambo into a soldier, then you got to get with us and call this number, 347-903-0886, 347-903-0886. NewBlackPanther.com is our website. It's up and running right now, up and running and ready to be activated by you, or you can email us at mbpphq@yahoo.com or newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. All you got to do is send us your information, and we'll send you registration forms and information on how to register right away. If you're black, you should be registered in the New Black Panther Party. You should do that right away, okay? If you're black and you believe in black power and that you know everything I said was true, register with us, okay? But that being said, we want to make a mass movement for our people and a mass movement of black men and women who want to turn the tide of self-hatred and destruction, turn the tide of our people turning inward to kill ourselves and do wrong to ourselves. We want to now uplift ourselves. Everybody wants to preach this nonviolence, this nonviolent movement and this peaceful movement. Well, let's be peaceful to ourselves. Let the black community preach nonviolence to itself. Let us preach about turning the other cheek and Martin Luther King to ourselves. Let's practice that on each other versus always trying to find a white person or some other people of ethnicity to practice that on. We done that for all kind of years. White folks, they are already in their mind believe that when they see you, you're not going to do nothing to them. They walk all through the hood, all through the neighborhood. Don't worry about a damn thing. It could be shooting going on if they ain't worried about it. As the rapper said, they ain't worried about nothing. Because we done already practiced nonviolence with our 400-year-old historical open enemies and oppressors. We done that. We done turned the other cheek. But we have not turned the other cheek on ourselves. And most of us, when we see other black people, we're getting tense and we get angry and we get full of the energy to fight because it's been instilled in us to hate ourselves. I say let's turn that around. We got to have a movement in America that turns around the self-hatred into self-love. That movement starts right here and it starts with us. The love of black people is what we need. The upliftment of black people is what we need. The organization of black people is what we need. We need our own of everything, our own educational paradigm, our own economic paradigm, our own agricultural paradigm. We need it all for ourselves. Because, again, if you're tied to the umbilical cord of this nation, you're going down fast. That's just straight real. Just like they thought Rome wouldn't fall. They thought Egypt wouldn't fall. They thought old kingdoms wouldn't fall, and they all fail. But they lied to the people up until a point, just like today. They said they found the missing airplane, the Malaysia flight airplane. It had like 235 people on it. And they told you that it just disappeared out the sky, knowing all the time, with all the data that they had. They knew all the time that plane was shot out of the sky. They knew that. They knew that. But they wouldn't tell you because they would have to explain that. And that's how I'm telling you. The media is controlled. And you don't get the truth off of TV and CNN and Fox and all that. Stop looking to Fox and CNN and MSNBC to tell you the truth. They're not going to tell you the truth. They know that their plane was shut out the sky, and that they won't tell you why. Got to do your own investigation. But we told you on Black Power Radio what was up. The new Black Panther Party has been able to see through the lines and read through the lines Okay? We've been lied to all the time. So you know if they are lied to you about an airplane and pilots on an airplane flying allegedly Chinese around, you know they're going to lie to you about yourself. You know they'll lie to you about your history. You know they'll lie to you about who you are, where you come from, what you're supposed to be doing, you know, how we're supposed to act in this. You know they're going to lie to you. What makes you believe that they would tell you the truth in this hour after so many lies have been fed to you? We've been miseducated every day. Had nerve to say George Washington never told a lie. Had nerve to say that George Washington never told a lie and he was a slave owner. Okay? So we've been lied to. And you got to accept the fact in 2014 that ain't nothing changed. That same old is going on just in an updated form. Well, where are the updated Nat Turners, the updated Marcus Garveys, the updated Harriet Tubmans, the updated Ida B. Wells, and the updated Huey P. Newtons and updated Bobby Seals? Where is the modern day Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad's and those who would stand to take the place of Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz as he's working on the legal front, and those who would stand to help our General and National Chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga? Where are you at in 2014? If the conditions are worse and children are bringing guns to school and being patted down like they're in the penitentiary and they're being programmed to be prepared for penitentiaries and jails coming out of elementary and middle school, where are the redeemers and the reformers and those who are not scared to go like Martin Luther King Jr. went, to sit and agitate and make change in 2014 if the condition is worse? And since the condition is worse, that means we got to have more of it, and we got to do it in a better way and at a faster pace, because our babies are dying at a faster rate out here. Our babies have been deemed expendable, where the police agencies are being used to shoot down our boys, and the courts are being used to terrorize and put our men and women in jails for 50 and 60 years for the rest of their lives on crimes that other ethnicities, particularly white people, are given less time for. Where them at? Where you at in this battle? You don't even know, some of you, that you're in a battle, because you have accepted in your mind and you believe in your mind that this is a battle that can't be won. Well, if the old warriors felt like that, they never would have fed the babies. If the old warriors felt like that, they never would have made ambulance services. If the OGs felt like that, they never would have bust you to the prisons and said that our people should be freed and work to organize freedom for black men and women held in international, local military, and federal jails and city jails. They never would have done that if they would have just accepted that we're going to just acquiesce and be defeated. Hell no. Hell no, coming from a warrior people like Shaka Zulu and a great warrior people like Queen Hatshepsut, and you would sit in 2014 and acquiesce to the beast. Hell to the no. Because as the books say, they can plan, but God plans, and God is the best of planners, and you got to know that you're in the plans of God, that your liberation is in the plan. Your liberation is ordained. It's ordained for you to rise and do better than what we're doing. It's ordained for us because we are the people the Honorable Khalid Muhammad taught us. We are the people of God. That's who we are. Straight up, it's in our DNA. We are the people of his choice. We are the people who are destined to rule. The black man and black woman is destined to rule in the land that we have been captured in the land that we exist in, and are treated, as they say, like three-fifths of human being, third world citizens. We are destined to rule in America. Let that go throughout the world. The black man and woman, destined to be on the top. And I ain't just talking about two-party plantation politics. I'm talking about ownership. I'm talking about institution. I'm talking about being able to make your own laws and your own policies and things that don't just benefit the rich, and don't just benefit blood-sucking capitalistic elitists, but that benefit black men and women and really anybody the world over who is doing right and doing just. That's how God made us. We operate off the laws of Maat, which is order, balance, truth, reciprocity, harmony, peace. You know, we operate off that as a people. And in the new Black Panther Party, we operate off of that. And so we're not saying that we want power at the expense of everybody else. We want power. We want power to do right and set justice in the earth and truth in the earth and turn away from the blood-sucking course that American rulership and those who would pimp your people out to Walmart and other corporations and put them in the penitentiary to make them work for free labor for slavery by a different name, that we can turn that course around and make real productive men and women. Men and women who ain't scratching just to get a GED, to get a meager job, but they can use their mind and produce for themselves and put themselves on top with some real economics. That's why we bring you the Michael V. Robinson. We link you up with the greats like Dr. Farrah Gray, and we link you up with the greats like Brother Ben Carson, or Dr. Ben Carson, that great doctor and neuroscientist. We link you up with them because we want to show you that it's possible. That black greatness is possible. You are destined to rule in this world. You're not destined just to sit around and waste time and sit around and twiddle your thumbs and sit around and let your life just go by and you become an old man or an old woman and you ain't done nothing with your life and haven't done anything for a long time. That's not you. That's not the destiny of black people in this country or in the world. That's why we're so dissatisfied. And that's why we're so uncomfortable, because in your soul, you know you're supposed to be doing more than what you're doing. And that's what the new Black Panther Party is working to drive out of you and to move out of you and to mine out of you is your own greatness. You got to pull your own greatness out, black man and black woman, and stop hiding your greatness, as they say, behind the bushel basket. We can be more than entertainers. We can be more than athletes. I mean, nothing wrong with entertainment, nothing wrong with athletics, but we can be more than all of that. We have that amongst us. We need more of that to be exercised. What about the great mathematicians? What about the great scientists? What about the great lawyers, the great engineers, the great ones who can run government, a government of our own? What about the great ones who can agriculture and work in the field? What about the great ones who know medicine? What about you? Why have you not taken your place in the black nation and stood up and said, hell no, enough with the FDA's poison medicine, and you giving our people medicines that don't cure anything but only send them back to put some money in your pocket? Why have you not stood up to give the cure to the great so-called plagues and diseases that are out here? Dr. Sabi did it. Hell, Dr. Lila Africa did it. Sister Queen of Four did it. There are others out here that have done it. Phil Valentine and others who have done it. Why haven't you done it? Why have we not made it our mainstream way of life? Why keep going to the same hospital to feed you poison medicine that does not help your body but only puts you further in the grave? Why keep going to the same supermarket that feeds you food that's genetically modified that puts you further into the grave? Why keep going to the same killing field and educational system that doesn't teach you anything about yourself but puts you further into the mental and moral grave? Why do that? Why would we self-destruct like that, knowing that we're such a great people and we have the power to turn around our own destiny and the power to determine where we want to go as a people? Read our program, the 10-point program of the New Black Panther Party, and read what it's talking about when it tells you we want the power to practice self-determination. That means practice it. That means exercise it. That means challenge everything that's in your pathway of progress to make a new reality for your people. We want America revolutionarily changed to the core and the structure of black people's being. It must be changed. It must be changed first, starting with the change in our minds and our hearts and our bodies and our spirit. Hell with talking about what the white man's government's doing. Hell with that. We're talking about setting up our own, changing your mind, a change in your being, a change in your heart, a change in your thought process. You can change your own reality, and you can change the realities of those around you if we'd make the change in the response and take the responsibility to change today. I'm just leveling with you, brothers and sisters. We don't have all day to play around. If you're serious about rulership and serious about being made a new man and a new woman or a new Black Panther, a new Black Panther means you're a Black man who or Black woman who has changed, a transformed Black man and Black woman who is renewed with a spirit to rise above the conditions that were placed on you and placed on your people, that you as that panther, you go up in the tree and you look down on your enemies and you understand that if your enemy comes up in that tree to try to stop you from making your ascension, that you come down to wipe your enemies out, but that you climb up in the tree, that you can build your own and that you can raise your own and maintain your own and do that in peace and in harmony. That's what time it is, Black man and Black woman. It's time for us to ascend, and it's time for us to rise. That time is now. It's not to come. It's not on its way. It's not trying. It's not going to be delivered in a one-day delivery through FedEx or UPS. That time is now. That time is right now for you to make that change in your life and understand that you have to stand with Black people that are standing up in America with this work that we have on us and this pressure that we have on us. We need more help. We need more men and women to get involved. We need more people that are concerned about our youth and our babies and our elders and our people to get involved and to work in a modern era. We need a new Black power movement and a new abolitionist movement, a new quote-unquote civil rights movement. We need that in today's time. Quit looking to yesterday and get off their coattail. Quit looking to yesterday and get off of their coattail and put your foot where they put their foot and put your mind where they put their mind and trust in the God of your people and that God that woke you up this morning to put you on a path to do something that is pleasing to him and pleasing to your people. Talking about. And so, you know, again, that number, 347-903-0886, newblackpanther.com is the website to support and help this movement and to get involved. And again, we're going to hear from Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour. Want to go to the phone line and hear what you have to say as we await our national chairman at area code 813-401. You're here. This is Black Power Radio. I'm your host. National Chief of Staff, Sean Saddam Kweli. Talk to me. Welcome to Black Power.
Greetings, Brother Sean Kweli. This is Sister Michelle Williams down in Tampa, Florida.
Hey, Black Power, greetings.
Black Power, I'm extremely elated to your comments, and I just really, really want to say just one thing to anyone that's listening. What Brother Sean was saying, how we as blacks must get more involved in the own progressiveness of the black race. See, one thing that I have always been saying since I was able to have my own conscious mind with my own conscious thoughts, that we give up on one another and we become cozy with the white race. We blacks have become so afraid to fight and stand up for what's right. We don't have any ancestors of old blood running through these new generation Negroes. This is one thing that angers me because we are afraid to fight for what we know is right. We're afraid to lose a job instead of becoming all our own economic development. We're afraid to trust one another. Yep. We build businesses and we have supporting systems, and then we turn around and we don't do anything to support the blacks in our neighborhoods. You know, Brother Sean Kweli, you know, I was not going to announce this publicly, but, you know, when I'm still on the ground, you know why these white folks came after me. You know what I'm saying? I was told to my face in court when they arrested me back in 2012, you know, post a verdict of the George Zimmerman verdict coming out, and how they swiftly convicted me of selling my own investment property, saying that the house did not belong to me. So, you know, if you buy something from somebody else and they're the original owner, that means you purchased something from the owner. But that's neither here nor there. But I was told that I should be happy that I'm a free political prisoner. Now, these are coming from white faces down at this courthouse, you know, here in Hillsborough County. I don't know what else has to be said. You know, I've been listening to Black Panther Radio, and I've been on these conference calls, you know, since the earliest part of 2011, and it's the same repetitiveness. We can't keep repeating ourselves. When do we stop drinking milk and eat meat? We can't keep pacifying one another with these conference calls. We have to now be a nation of action.
That's right.
We have to pull
That's
ourselves
right.
up.
I agree with you.
You know, so we have to pull ourselves up. You know, we can't keep repeating ourselves. We're talking to grown men and women that's be on these conference calls, people with brilliant ideas, people with brothers and sisters with brilliant minds. Why are we still drinking milk? Why aren't we in these streets being proactive? Why hasn't the new Black Panther Party set up our own what we do here in Tampa, Florida? This is a proven fact. I know why these crackers tried to shut us down here in Tampa, Florida. Because, see, we have a free thrift store where we give away free furniture and we feed the homeless every weekend. We are doing this. But what we're doing here in Tampa, it needs to be abroad. Every time I turn on the TV and every time I turn on a news station and when I'm picking up a Final Call newspaper or when I'm picking up any Black literature in the neighborhoods, we should be seeing effective things that the NBPP is doing. I'm never going to give up on us. I'm never going to give up on this organization because I know what Dr. Khalid Muhammad set this race up for. This race was given to the, not to the swift, but to the strong. We need strong, like-minded people such as myself, you, Brother Sean Kwalee, our new chairman, you know what I'm saying, Brother Najim. We need more soldiers. We need more soldiers. We don't need any more verbal soldiers. We need foot soldiers that's going to be out here in this community. We need soldiers that's not going to be afraid of friction from these goddamn honkies. That's what we need. We don't need no scary cats, and we don't need no goddamn pussies. We need men that's going to stand up for their Black women and support their Black women and protect their family. And we need strong Black queens that's going to stand behind them Black brothers and support them. That's what we need. We don't need pussies in the new Black Panther Party. And if you're a pussy and you're on this line, hang the damn phone up because we don't need that.
Go ahead. Go ahead. That's what I'm talking about. You're hitting it right on the head, and that's right in line with the spirit that I'm saying it in, that we are in a new direction. The new Black Panther Party is in a new forward, upward mobility. And that's what I said with institutions. First of all, and you may not know, but you have to know that we now have our own national headquarters that's operational, that's there to feed the people, programs in every chapter. Every chapter where we have a program or a chapter there, there's going to be a program. There is a program to feed our people and clothe the people and do that real work. And like I said earlier, those days of people who come around and they just talking the talk, but ain't walking the walk. That stuff is dead. And so, you know, sister, we, you know, again, you family, so you know, you got to, you know, make your way back home. We could have did a whole lot of things different. And I wish if I could turn the hand back, would have done a whole lot of things different concerning you. But you know, like I say before, me and you got to talk and do some real talking out of the public so we can get some things straight. But you welcome and you family, and if you working, sis, and you know what I mean, you on the ground like I know you to be, then we got to just do it together and do it in that right spirit and that right way with some real unity. And, you know, because like I say, we're cutting the BS, or cutting the fat off of the meat all the way around. So I'm glad to hear from you, for real.
It's not, you know, I'm not with this divide and conquer stuff. Let me tell you something. When them federal agents came to my house, they came to my jail cell when they arrested me. You know, that shit right there does not intimidate me. You know what I'm saying? I was built for this. A lot of us are not built for this. A lot of us are not people, you know what I'm saying? They so used to Blacks under pressure crumbling. You know what I'm saying? But like I told them, what God has for me is for me. And what's not, you better make sure he gonna throw it right back at you. He's going to show his right hand. He's going to show his right hand. You know, I'm already winning over in the District Court of Appeals. You know what I'm saying? There were several things that the state prosecutor, you know what I'm saying, she was gung-ho. She, you know, she thought that she had an open and shut case. It don't work that way. It don't work that way because regardless, I know that this law of the land was not meant to protect Black people because it was not structured for Black people. It was structured for the white race. We all know that. But like I say, the law is the law. And the way they came after me and the way they arrested me, they could have handled it in a whole different manner. But don't say that mm-hmm. I sold something to somebody that didn't belong to me. I've done too much great works in this community and in this state and across the nation for them to come at me the way they came at me. But, you know, that's always been the nature of these damn crackers. Mm-hmm. They get
that's
you
right.
when they know that you have the potential to raise up a nation and be able to structure black people and wake up the black race, they would do everything in their power to maliciously shut you down. That is just
that's
what they
right.
have done for me. That is just what they did to Brother Mike Hale. That's just what they did to Brother King Shamir. That's just what they did to Brother Najim. You know what I'm saying? That's just what they do. When they know that when they have strong black people that can turn the hearts and minds and lead the black people in the correct direction and lead them in the right direction, that's what they do. They always come after you in a criminal manner. When you know
that's
the
right.
nature of the beast, you have to prepare yourself. I was extremely prepared for that arrest. I was extremely prepared for that arrest. The only thing that I didn't want them to do is do what they did. They made me lose my house. I lost all my money. I had to close my business. I had to do that. But see, them crackers wanted me to fall. But guess what? I'm still standing, and I'm still smiling in the faces of these adversities. I'm still smiling. Because like
Beautiful.
I say, when God has you, when God has
That's
you,
right.
there is nothing that
That's
no
right.
man or no woman can take away from you.
That's right. That's right, and black
Point
power
right
too. That's right.
Just, you
that's
know,
right.
You touch me. You touch me with your words, and I'm just at this point. We gotta stop drinking milk. We have to be in a progressive state where we have to learn how to start eating meat. Yeah, if you doing the work of the people and you trying to do the work of the nation, you go have friction from the judicial system. You go
That's
have
right.
you go have friction from other left wing and right wing people,
yep.
and you go have it from our own people. You're going to have it from our own people. The night that they arrested me, Brother Sean Quali, it was members of my own team that set me up. I was not interested in going to a President Barack Obama debate, but them brothers and sisters told my sister, no, come up here. They the ones that got me up there. They the ones that got me up there. I was set up by my own peers.
Yep, that's how it goes. That's how it happens. But you walk in the same pathway, as I said, of Queen Warrior Harriet Tubman and Sister Shirley Chisholm, Queen Warrior. You walk in them Queen Warrior's paths, and so you're blessed to be able to at least put your foot where they put their foot and avoid many of them other traps that they had to face. And so you're coming out victorious, and all you got to do is keep walking and keep putting your, like you say, putting your faith in the God of your people and putting your faith, in the mission in the right way that it's supposed to put in, and you come out victorious because you might walk through the traps, but they won't get you. And they haven't got you, so you keep fighting. And like you said, they're supposed to come at you. So that's you got to know that. When you make your moves to resurrect and raise your people, you know that you're going to get opposition, and it always normally starts internally with the Negro peons and all those who, you know, are there to set you up and do what they do. But don't worry about it. You keep moving. You don't even focus on that. You focus on the mission at hand and focus on being successful. So I got to take some more calls, but I mean, you got to talk. I took your information. I took your number down. I mean, you got to talk, so make sure that we talk. My word is bond to you. Make sure that we talk sometime this week. Like I said, hit me on Facebook or something, but like, we got to talk.
It always has been. All power to the people, black power.
All right. Power to the people, black power. Yeah, that's my sister right there. And literally shook up the world. Shook them up, and we wasn't even all the way started. And so glad to hear from my sister, and glad to hear that she's on her feet and mobile and moving, and that even though the enemy came at her like they came at so many of us before, that she was unfazed in the way that they wanted her to be unfazed, and that, as they say in the scripture, she got a hedge around her. See, when you do this work, you're the God and your ancestors put that hedge around you, and they'll protect you. And we know this to be true. And so we appreciate it. And thanks to Sister Michelle Williams for fighting and staying strong. We'll take another call here. Your area code is 678-678-670. You're on live. Sean Saddam Kweli and Black Power Radio. Come in with your question or comment. We're talking about black people being returned to rulership. Black people ruling again. Come on with it, Black Power.
Black
6786. Hey, Black Power, your mic is open. You got a
Black
question
Power.
Or comment?
Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power, you got a question or comment?
Black Power.
All right. Well, Black Power it is then. I agree with you. Next call here, area code 480-432-480-432. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. You're talking to Sean Saddam Kweli. We're talking about black people being restored to our greatness and that we're going to rule once again. Come on with it, Black Power. Talk to us.
PP.
All right. How are you?
Hello. Hi.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to talk about Obama was talking about education, history, and culture, and a lot of other people were talking about the same thing. But I think people, the black people in the United States, other people should know about the culture of Latin America and other parts of the world because their history, education, and culture. Because there's many people that have written encyclopedias and books and journals about Latin America and other places in the world. And some books say that Latin America is majority African and Indian, and has a real diversity in a culture.
Mhm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, again, we agree with you. Education, of course, is the key. We're not mad at anybody for focusing on education, but we just say, what kind of education are you teaching for black people or descendants of Africans, you know, African people. Hell, we got to deal with self-knowledge, and we got to be self-critical, and we got to realize that the education that we've been taught as a people has not elevated us to a level where we would do for ourselves and operate on a level of independence, but it has made us better consumers instead of producers, and it is absolutely, it has put us in a position of inferiority in terms of exercising our greatness. And so we have to have self-information, information about greats like Imhotep and others who were there long before Hippocrates and the Greeks and all of that. We got to have information, sir, that, you know, empowers us to a degree that we can move our people and nation forward in a righteous way. And so that's what we're talking about, brother. But we got to move forward. I'm sorry to cut you short. We have to move forward to be able to call Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour and push the program forward. But thank you so much for your question, and we'll move forward. And brothers and sisters, we're at that point. Told you we was waiting on our national chairman. He was texting me, and as we were all talking, wasn't getting them texts. But he's here now. I think he's with Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. I'll have to get him on here. But let's bring in our national chairman of the organization and our General Minister Hashim Nzinga. Black Power, sir.
Black Power, Brother Sean. Let me say, first of all, like always, all praise is due our God that put us here for a purpose. And we just about to serve that purpose. I got the great, honorable Dr. Khalid Mansour, one of our regular inspirational giants, one that God sent to this planet to do great things, and he didn't fail his God. And when he's on the phone, I just be quiet. Dr. Khalid Mansour, welcome back to Black Power Radio, our host and National Chief of Staff of the Black Panther Party, Sean Kweli. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah, everything is good. I have no complaints. But you're on the front line, so you have to tell me what you see, what you would like to see, and how long will it take you to bring the reality to the race, to their mental being.
Well, Doc, you know, they say they said that the black revolutionary Jesus was sitting with the Pharisees, and they asked him, why were you sitting with these people? He said, the sick people need a doctor. So, Doc, this is a broad audience, as you know, with Black Talk Radio, and over 44 books written by you, traveled the world, president or chairman or something to do with 13 international banks in the finance world, Doc, mainly what I always like about you is your persistence in giving back to us. Before we say all of these things about you being the senior advisor to the Saudi prince and all of that, we always talk about your humble beginning, and we always talk about your banking, your financing, your institutional way of uninstitutionalizing us to be broad thinkers, global thinkers. But what I like to say, starting off, is I just appreciate you always answering your phone and always coming to our rescue. Now, as far as the Black Power Radio listening audience, I would say we're here tonight and the callers are here tonight because we have so many geniuses that God has blessed us with that we abused, we misused, we didn't treat right, we didn't appreciate. But you're here tonight, Doc. We appreciate you. We love you. And we just want you to give us your humble opinion on what we need to do in your broad mind that we can correct some of the conditions of our people and do a better job before our wives, our children, and stop being such slaves to this white man and his system.
Well, I think that a good place to start is what has been the experience, good, the bad, the ugly, with the wide variety of people who came from outside of the United States. Germans came from Germany looking for a better life. Polish people looked for America looking for a better life. Italians came to America looking for a better life. When we ask each of these groups, why did they come? What was the purpose? What was the plan for development? What was the commitment to bringing education to our children, some born, some yet to be born? In short, how do we review what the Germans did after getting to America, what the Italians did after getting to the Americas, the West Indians did after getting to America? What approach did they take? They all knew that they had to have a job. They knew that in order to maintain the respect for their companions of the same ethnicity or race or educational aspirations, what, in short, was the strategy that every group that has made major progress in America, what did they do that all of the others did, and how successful were they? So we're looking at what were the goals, what was the strategies that the leaders recycled among the group, how did they create rewards, and how did they avoid tragedies? How did they build a feeling of solidarity? Why didn't they just come here from Germany and cut each other up and lynch each other? Why didn't the Italians say, look, I'm tired of all this. If we killed out half the Italians, they'd have to recruit those who are left, and we would make money. We would be rich. We would show that America has a great deal to offer. What did our leadership say? Let's not talk about daydreaming. Let's talk about reality. Our leaders had to face, in the first instance, they had to face of slavery's over, how do you survive? Do you know how to grow crops? Could you get land so you can grow crops on the land? Should you go back to Africa? It's not uncommon that Jews, in order to get a head start in America, many of them went to Israel, and they started pooling together. They started planning together. They started sharing with each other the challenges of education, marriage, divorce, employment. Who provided the blueprint? The so-called leaders. They took various institutions, the churches, told the people in Switzerland, here's what you have to do if you are really serious about achievement. The Italians, they told them, when we read your history book, there were some really fabulous narrations about the sacrifices the Italians made, 12th century, 13th century, 14th century. Even popes were going to Italy to recruit leaders. They realized the importance of leaders. They realized the importance of religion, how that would bring motivation. They realized the importance of social stability. You don't cut each other up. You don't curse each other every day. That blocks your mind from learning English, math, foreign language, history. So the question is, how can the leadership be told in direct way what has all these other groups done? You look and see what the Germans did. What did the Italians do in America? Many of them had a difficult time trying to get a job. Some of them had children, they couldn't hardly feed them. Some of them had fights. They had divorces. But what did most of them do? The first step is, who are we? What do we really represent? Do we represent killing each other on the weekends? Do we realize, or do we pursue adultery, drugs? Do we glorify physical beauty but make fun of being black? We've all heard it. If you're white, my brothers and sisters, you have heard it before. We are all right. Then they say, if you're brown, you know, certainly not the best thing in the world. Maybe it's not the worst thing. But if you're brown, stick around. Focus. Think about developing your mind. Surprise your parents and say, I would like to volunteer to go to the store and bring back some groceries. I'd like to start some gardens in the back of our house to reduce the amount of money that our parents are earning by the sweat of their brow, in order to make the black independence. And we said that we would go to the church and we would tell the church, let us ask God, what does it take to get your respect? God, what does it take to prove to you that we appreciate the creation of the world? We appreciate trusting one another. We appreciate teaching our children math, history, sociology, because these are the tools that will free the mind of a race. These are the tools that give a sense of achievement. Are we going to say to one another through our churches, to our leaders, when are we going to learn how to treat our parents? When are we going to tell our mothers that we need your help? We not only want A grades in school, we want your respect. We see you doing day's work, scrubbing white people's kitchen. We see you going to the store to bring back groceries for them, and you get the crumbs. We don't see you bringing books home the way white students are bringing homes to white homes. We see blacks fighting blacks. They call it black-on-black crimes. The churches say, don't worry, when you get to heaven, God, regardless to how rotten or sinful, God will deliver. Now, with these kinds of doctrines that are fed to us day after day, where are we going to get the map to develop our people? The Caribbean, the people from the Caribbean. When I was at Howard, the people from the Caribbean were outperforming the African American. They had the same book, the same instructor, the same library. Many of them worked, but they didn't sit around complaining. They came saying, we are going to make it. No flunkouts, no dropouts. Honor grades will make us feel good like black people should. How did the people born in Africa internalize this approach to success in life? Brothers who were born, some of them were born, they didn't have hardly enough food to eat, but they sacrificed. Their parents told them, you cannot give up. Your grandmother's watching. Your pastors in the church are watching. They want you to achieve. They want you to win. Will you do this for your parents? Will you do this for your brothers and sisters? I promise you, if you achieve, that achievement will make you feel good. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You're focused on being at the top of the class. Honor grades will make you feel good like black people should. When is the last time you heard that in the churches? When is the last time that the deacons committee met and started talking about geometry, mathematics? When is the last time that the sisters said, we're not going to abuse the brothers, we're going to pull with the brothers to help them get the highest grades in school the way the Jews did it, the Italians did it, the Germans did it. They all adopted the same approach, motivation, not to look for excuses. And so the professionals at the school said, look, we're not interested in these blacks becoming mathematicians. We're not interested in them being scientists. We're not interested in them being respected all over the world. What then do you want? We want them to be the best football player, the best boxer. We want them to be the best roller skater. We want to see them not carrying books. We want them singing. We want them being a comedian. They want them to make white people smile and laugh. And what did our leaders say? We are going to pass laws. But what were they talking about? Were they talking about they were going to pass laws that blacks couldn't laugh? Were they going to pass laws that black people didn't have to read? Were they going to pass laws saying black people don't have to be the A students in the school? Were they going to say that education is really not important? The most important thing is that you get your hair combed, have some fun, dance, some drugs. With this path to deterioration, as it unfolds and sweeps through it, yes, there were some, 5, 10, 15, who defied even the ministers in the church. What did the church say? You don't have to worry about working it hard, because when you get to heaven, God is going to bless you if you give the preachers a lot of money every Sunday. Who were the leaders that stood up and outlined strategies like the Jews did, like the Irish did, like the Italians did? They weren't just forming gangs to see who were the strongest. They wanted their mothers to be proud of them. They wanted the churches to be proud of them. They wanted their neighbors to be proud of them. And I'm not suggesting that we just try to imitate whites, because the black African coming to America, they outperform the African American. There are more Africans going to college percentage-wise than African Americans in the schools in our backyard. It's a few blocks away. How many gangs are they forming in Nigeria? or Kenya. They're telling the family, the uncles, the daughters, the sons, the churches, look here, don't get caught up in a trap that destroys your mind. And what did we say? Well, let's just ask the question. What did our leaders say to try to motivate blacks? As I recall, it said, I think it was Martin Luther King, I saw the son of the blacks and the son of the whites pursuing progress, educational achievement. What did the black leaders say? You have to be, use all of your energy to be like whites. Does that mean getting top grades in school, high performance? No. Having some fun. We like the way you blacks dance. That's what we want you to do. Put that music on and you blacks just dance. We want the black females to create excitement. What happens in the meantime? We don't graduate at the top of the class. We graduate at the bottom of the class. But the West Indian, born in Jamaica, Trinidad, where do they graduate? They come to America, they graduate at the top of the class. How did they do it? What did they do that the African American did not do? We may join the service. How many of us taught our sons, our brothers, our sisters, how to be number one in a class? What friendships did we form in the junior high schools and the high schools? When we would sing the song, no dropouts, meaning that, no flunkouts. Honor grades will make you feel good like black youth should. Doesn't all A's in school, doesn't that make you feel strong, feel like you have achieved something? And when your mother sees those A's, they say, look, son, daughter, you've made us proud. But it's 3%, it's 4%. What happens to 60% and 70% like the Jews do, the Irish, the Italians? We flunk out more than they do. When are we going to turn that around? It's the people listening to this broadcast that will be the leaders. It's the people who say we will make any and every sacrifice we can. We want our kids to understand knowledge. And we may say once a month we're going to teach them a little language that they speak in Ghana. Who knows when they want to go there? Maybe the black Panamanians would like to hear them speaking Spanish. But it's putting together a program. Who did this before? The Italians did it. It's not some miracle that never happened before. The Italians did it. The Germans did it. Japanese did it. Irish did it. Chinese did it. Why are we not following the pattern of mental achievement? A's and B's in school, junior high, high school, where your friends start saying, man, I never thought you would do this, but I got to take my hat off to you. I sometimes think about a aunt that I have, my father's sister, born Louisville, Kentucky. And she decided that against all odds, she was going to get some honor grades. She graduated high school. She said, that's not enough. I'm going to focus more. Some of the ministers were saying, you know, education's all right, but bring me the money in the Sunday collection first. That's when God will really bless you. Other times, he may not be listening. But if you are taking care of your pastor, God's going to be smiling, and he'll reward you. What are our leaders saying? If I remember correctly, Reverend Martin Luther King, he was a tremendous orator, and he saw the vision of what heaven would feel like and be like. And what did he say? I saw the son of the slave master and the son of the slave walking through the red clay hills of Georgia. What does that do for the race? What does that do to motivate us to learn physics, chemistry, history, manners, cutting the grass at home, forming groups to make a little money, cut grass of the neighbors, tell them you want to work in order to prove that we are here for achievement. We want our mothers who are doing day's work say, Mom, look, do us a favor, just one day this week, don't go to work. We want you to stay with us. We will go to that job that you go to once or twice a week. We will go there to let the owner of that house see that the black man's back. When's the last time we did that? When's the last time we asked our mothers or fathers, look, take us when you go to work and show us how to do it, because we can make some money and help build the house, help build the family, help build our sisters, help build our brothers. No flunk outs, no drop outs. Honor grades will make you feel good, like black people should. That's what the Jews did. That's what many of the whites did. They said, look, now we ain't going to lose out. They started reading more. Go to the library. How many are blacks in the library reading books? How many whites? There are no signs in that library saying no blacks allowed. Who stopped you from going to the library reading? Why do we not do that? A few do. The masses do not. Can we change it? Absolutely. The Chinese changed it. The Irish changed it. The Japanese changed it. They wanted to set an example. They wanted to be respected, not just playing football or just playing basketball. Was that five people at a time on the team? They wanted an Einstein. And we have the ability. How do I know that? I'm not giving you a pipe dream. I'm telling you and sharing with you reality. I've heard young blacks, 6, 7, 8 years old, listen to the radio when they're playing some rhythm and blues. Hear the song one time and know every word in sequence. Why can't we do that in chemistry? It's the same process. They open up the book. They say, I know I can do this. They go on the team for basketball. First thing they say to themselves, I know I can be a star. They provide what? Motivation. How much motivation do we provide for each other for reading? Saying, look, you know, we ought to finish this book in physics. Teacher said we can't finish until March. Well, what about if we finish it in November? That's just how black we are. Just how determined we are. That's what the Germans do. That's what the Jews do right now in America. But if you listen to the leaders of the Jews and the leaders of the Chinese and the leaders of the Japanese and the support that the family gives them, we then start realizing that the fault belongs not with God. The fault belongs with our leaders. We want to sit in, roll in, crawl in. What about read in? Didn't cost any money. Go to the library and read the book. Rise and unite the black man's back. Why do our parents do not say, I give you a little reward if you read this book, bring it home, and give some lectures to us at the dinner table? Turn that music up. James Brown saying, singing the song, say it loud, I'm black and I'm brown. Everyone claps. The rhythm causes your emotions to open up. You start visualizing your ability. You start anticipating the kind of pride and respect you will have when they find out that 50, 60, 70% of the black students are A and B students. That's the mark that the Jews have in America. That's the mark that the Chinese have in America. That's the mark that the Japanese have in America. Why do we black leaders not set the stage for showing the world? What are we going to show them? If the white people give you a microphone, you're on TV and on the radio, why don't we ever say to them, rise and unite the black man's back? What about the Africans who are A students in the United States in the colleges? their parents are in Nigeria or Kenya, Zambia. But they say, I'm not letting my mother or father down. The message that's given on Sunday morning, the message that gives in the mosque, what is the content? When do we say that God wants us to be a student? When's the last time you heard that sermon? As I recall, Martin Luther King said that he was caught up in heaven and he saw the black man and the white man walking through the red clay hills of Georgia, two brats playing in the mud. How does that motivate them to learn math? How does that learn physics? How does that learn you to respect your parents and tell your parents, you know, last report period, I got only C's, a couple B's, but the most of them D's. Mom, I want you to sit down here and look in my black face. The next semester, I will have all A's and B's if I have to stay after school every day. Not because the teacher's trying to punish me, but because I feel proud to be black. I want to have some meaning when I sang that song with A's on my transcript in geometry, history, physics, science. No dropouts, no flunkouts. Black people, honor grades will make you feel good like black youth should. When is the last time your pastor gave that sermon in the pulpit? When is the last time our friend start emphasizing the importance of knowledge and reason? Well, I know that the people listening to this radio broadcast know that's the right thing to do. They just need a little push, a little motivation. They have to realize that we are at the end, and the only salvation is knowledge. Wisdom is a principal thing. This is Solomon. You heard of Solomon. What does Solomon say? Solomon said in the Song of Solomon, this is what he wrote. He said, ye daughters of Jerusalem, I am black and I am good looking. And Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Not just getting some nice clothes on. The wisest man. Not the most well-dressed man. That's in your Bible. So why isn't it on Sunday? The pastor is saying, I want to quote Solomon. Solomon said, I'm black and I'm beautiful. Can I get a witness? I think I better stop before you hang out off me.
No, we ain't going to do that, Doc. I'll say this. First of all, for the Black Talk Radio listeners, this is Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, our big brother and our genius and our financial genius, our brother who has traveled the world, who's president or CEO of 13 banks internationally all over Africa, who's the senior advisor to the Saudi prince, one of the richest people in the world, and who loved to educate us, who wrote 44 books. All 44 are written in 30 days during the month of Ramadan with a pencil and a tablet, and he published his own books. And you ought to go get them. I was telling them today, I had just pulled out one of the books that he gave me maybe 15 years ago, Betrayal by Any Other Name, talking about black leaders betraying us. Doc, in your travels, for the listeners, and then Brother Sean, I want you to come in. I know we got some people want to ask questions. But, Doc, in your many, many years of traveling, crisscrossing the world all the way from Dubai to Ghana, just for our listening audience who's not as fortunate as me and Brother Sean and who have been around here a while, how many presidents and ambassadors of other countries have you sit with and do you advise at this time and point right now?
Well, I just say a lot of them because people get jealous. They start saying, well, he thinks he's better than anyone else. To avoid all that, I try to stop and I don't try to brag who I am, but I try to share with my brothers and sisters and anyone else listening to this program how I got to where I got. I didn't just close my eyes and knowledge poured in. I had to read. In 1895, that's a long time ago, I was happy to see a picture in my house at 1142 West Point Avenue. Big picture. And that picture was there because my Aunt Elizabeth, my father's sister, in 1895 was a straight-A student and got the highest award that you can get in the United States. What was the motivation? It was her father. It was her mother. It was her brother saying, "Sister, you can't let us down. You can't let God down." They found Jesus meditating in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to learn more. When do our pastors, deacons, set the example? The sisters. Sometimes the brothers treat the sisters in a terrible way. Why don't we respect where all the races in America say we wish that we were a black female because look how their brothers treat them. But that can't happen unless we do it. There's no miracles. We have to go home, look in that mirror, bring our brothers and sisters and say, look, this is the new day. No dropouts, no flunkouts. The first thing in the entire Bible and the Koran, what does it say? Read, read, read. Now, why doesn't the pastor talk about the glories of reading? He said it three times. Solomon, in the book of Solomon. Solomon was Jewish. What did Solomon say when he wrote down, "Ye daughters of Jerusalem"? You know, brother's been hitting on young ladies for some time. "Ye daughters of Jerusalem," let me clue you in on something. This is Solomon talking. This is the first chapter, not the last chapter of Solomon. This is the very first chapter of Solomon. He wants you to know he's serious. "Ye daughters of Jerusalem." This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. "I am black, not colored, not fair, not dark, not medium. I am black, and I am beautiful." So saying black and beautiful was said a long time ago with Solomon. But when did we pick it up? What records did we make? What books did we write? Just to encourage our young brothers and sisters and our parents and our grandparents. Why don't we be the example? I'm on this radio because I believe in my race. I believe that there are many, hundreds and hundreds of people listening to this broadcast. When they hear the truth, they're going to say, "You know something? I'm going to start a reading book." Just like that Al Mansour did, and like those students at Howard University. We met once a week and just read books. And we shared that information. My roommate was a quiz kid from Philadelphia, graduated the top. Lewis Clayton Jones got the highest academic record you could. But how did he do it? 90% A's and a couple B's. And when people met, it wasn't just a fraternity or a sorority saying who could get the opposite sex or have some gossip. They said, "No, no, we're going to take care of business." That's what the Jews do today. The Irish do. The Germans do. Our leadership is not emphasizing the importance of reading and studying and talking about knowledge. We don't even discuss comic books. It's just outright gossip, sex. When are we going to come back to our...
Doc, when you talk about the leaders, I know if we talk about American leaders that you ran across, question I've been wanting to ask you, did you ever get to sit and did you ever get to run across Congressman Adam Clayton Powell Jr. in Harlem?
You mean the congressman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I used to go to Harlem and give speeches. I knew I didn't know how to give speeches properly, and I knew that some people thought I was nuts. They started laughing. But I said, "I'm coming back to 125th Street, and I'm going to learn. I'm going to let the brothers in the ghetto make me learn so that I can communicate and inspire my race." And I found out that those Harlem streets taught me a great lesson. Don't try to be so big. What you want to do is to gain knowledge so you can become physicists and engineers. You can be examples in your community. You can earn and warrant a wonderful wife who wants to push you to get the highest grades as well as the children. This is our day, but the time and the clock is ticking. If we don't make moves now, you can't wait for a black man in the White House to motivate you. What's he going to say? It's going to take the barber. It's going to take the parents, the neighbors. Determination. You want to come home and show them the report card. All A's. You don't think your parents would be proud of you? Where's it going to start? Who's going to start? I find more people, the Muslims, I was surprised that they had a meeting once a week, book discussion. Learning, learning, learning. And I know the people listening to this broadcast can do that and more. Brothers and sisters, I know you. I know you know how to motivate yourself. You can go to the play yard and see a basketball game one time and go out there and perform. What about knowledge? First thing the Bible says is read, read, read. In Arabic, igra, igra, igra. You got it, brother.
Hey, hey, brother, Sean, I'm going to let you bring some callers, but, Doc, I just want you to tell us about Stokely Carmichael. Tell us about H. Ralph Brown. Tell us about Huey Newton, Bobby Seals, Angela Davis, and that group that was on those college campus reading that you talked about, Eldridge Cleaver.
Well, again, you know, a lot of people came to college and they wanted the party. They say, I want the party, I want to get drunk, I wanted the weekends to have some fun. So they came out of high school as an A student. When they finally graduated from college, they were C-plus students. Some of them flunked out, some of them dropped out. I was shocked. I went to Howard University, and when I saw the number of people that dropped out and flunked out, you know, you just feel bad. Then I ran into Lewis Clayton Jones from Louisville, Kentucky. Lewis Clayton Jones was Phi Beta Kappa, the highest award you could get for academic performance. And Lewis Clayton Jones would say, look, man, I'm coming over to the dorm every Monday night, and let's sit around and bring our grades up. We have students who are almost flunking out, but because of leadership of students, other students start saying, man, we ain't going to let you down. We are going to bring the grades up. So Carl Watson, A student. Lewis Clayton Jones had one C on his transcript in swimming. Everything else was A. How did they motivate one another? How did they promote their self-confidence? Here's a very good example. A young person in high school. They can hear a song one time and can repeat the entire song. That means you got a great mind. Listen carefully. Here's this record, a recording you have never heard. And they're playing this recording, and you hear the words once, maybe twice. And you start singing it to your friends. When you walk home from school, you're singing the same song. That shows what enormous intellectual capability you have. You, my brothers and sisters, listen to this broadcast. Don't sell yourself short. You have the mind. It's a matter of developing that mind. And you can do it. If you can learn a song after hearing it one time, you read a book in law school three or four, five times, you may not have it. That one time when someone comes up and tells you, man, there's a new song out, you got to hear this song. What happens to you? Your mind starts turning. And you say, look, this guy doesn't seem that bright, but he learned all the words of that song, and they're going to party this weekend, and I'm not going to know any of the song. No way. You tell that man, come over to the dorm this weekend. So the grade started turning because self-confidence is built up. You listening to this broadcast, you have the same ability that I have. Most of you have more ability. Question is, when are we going to do it? You go to Sunday school or the church sings a song, you know it after hearing it once or twice. You have the ability. If you didn't have the ability, I would just say, look, you're doing the best you can. Don't blow yourself out. I know what you can do. I go to the school. I hear the students. I go back to the school to see their grades go up. I went to school when the average grade was D- and C-. that same school, the average grade now is between B minus and A. What happened? Motivation. Self-confidence. They say, yes, we can. Why don't our musicians put out the song? No flunk out. No drop out. Honor grades will make you feel good like black people should. Amen. I'm going to give up trying to hog the show. Brother.
Yes, sir. Hey, Dr. Munson, we're going to try.
Let me say this one thing for the listeners. Dr. Khalid Mansour, as y'all know, on Saturday night at the Windsor Hotel, 5010 Old National Highway, College Park, will be with us for our Dignity Summit, and he's going to be one of our keynote speakers during the international business section. You can go to the website, I'm pretty sure Brother Sean then drilled it into you the first hour. And, Doc, that's why we called it a Dignity Summit, because it's time for black people to understand we're royalty and we are dignified people, and we got to stop being the damn clowns and the buffoons that the world is trying to portray and go back to Solomon and be wise. And I just wanted to say that I can't wait till Saturday night to see you, Dr. Jeffries, and all of these giants will be on the radio tonight and be here in person. And for young people to get to meet and see you and get to see the selection of the 44 books from PCs and computers to theology to finance. Brother Sean is on you.
All right. Yes, sir. Dr. Mansour, we appreciate you, black man. You've been driving. We got about 2 minutes left. I want to try to slide a call in here real quick for you to answer. Area code 504-432-504-432. You're on live Black Power Radio with our guest, Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power. Yes, this question goes to Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. Did I pronounce his name right? Khalid Al-Mansour?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Look, how do you get black folks to do business with one another without arguing and fighting?
We formed a group called the African American. We found a group called African American Association. Every Sunday we had a half-hour broadcast. Monday we met 4022 Grove Street in Oakland, California, and we started drawing crowds somewhere around 200 and 300. And on Friday we had like a seminar, and these students internalized the motivation. They said, "Brother, we're not going to let you down." I said, "It's not just me, your grandmother, your grandfather, people that were in slavery. Don't let none of us down. This is the time, and you should see the students that we have all over America now, because they learned that motivation was integral to make you feel good like black people should."
All right. Thanks for the thanks for the tip.
My pleasure.
All right.
And at Howard, you know, we had black and faculty come over there. That school was out. You know, that evening, Monday night, they said, "Let's sit down there and work. You work and we will see to it that you never regret it." Our group, we came there to see students, and we graduated with Phi Beta Kappa, the highest awards, academic awards you can get in America. These people now are placed all around the country. I have friends calling me and say, "Brother, here's what we're doing. We're going to keep on doing." I said, "Man, I want you to keep on and teach me, because we got to learn as much as we can and share that knowledge." There's an old saying, "Each one teach one." This is the time to do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Doc, well, we got about a few seconds left. We want to thank you so, so much for being with us tonight. We look forward to you being at our national summit this coming weekend. You dropped so much on this. Honest black man, we always appreciate having you on the broadcast and everything that you say with us. Thank you so much, Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour.
All right, there's one saying that's nice: no flunk outs, no dropouts. Honor grades will make you feel good like black people should. Thank all of you for tuning in. Really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you in person, my brothers and my sisters. Salaam alaikum.
All right. Wa alaikum salam. Black Power family, we are off the air. Come back and join us right now tonight, 10:30. We'll be back second half of the show, 10:30. Make sure you tune in for Sister Warrior Woman, the Counselor of Bermuda, the Counselor right there in the Bahamas, and so much more. We're going international tonight. We might be on the block, but our minds and our work is international. 10:30, second half, Black Power Radio, Black Power.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the